Earnest is 2021, the year of execution. In order to execute, we have to have information. And the number one place to get the information, EYL University. Shadi, tell them what we bring in.
Yes, EYL University has been reloaded. We already have 100 past webinars. We already have weekly webinars. We already have our private investment group on Facebook. We already have monthly financial planning calls. We already have bi-weekly real estate calls. But what has been added to EYL University this year is access to MG the Mortgage Guy's Home Buyer's Blueprint, which walks you through the home buying process from A to Z. And what also has been added, breaking news alert. Yeah, everybody always asks to be in our group
chat.
How do
I get in there? How
and
I get in
when this? We talk about all the investment plays that we are making, we are going to have investment calls, group chat calls with me, Troy, and the whole team, and walk you through our plays that we're making and give you insight into our portfolios. All of that for 75% off. That's right. We are doing a blowout sale, 75% off for a limited time only. Go to EYLUniversity.com right now and sign up.
See you on the other side.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.
All right, so now we're going to talk about something very interesting and something actually, when you contacted us, you brought up a good point. You're like, I don't think you talked about this yet. I'm like, you know what? We haven't. So yeah, let's talk about
DM,
it.
DM, right?
Yeah. So yes, equity crowdfunding, right? So people might not be familiar with equity. Well, crowdfunding in general is a way to raise money from large amounts of people, right?
Yeah.
So like the most popular form is Kickstarter. Right. People, things like that, right? It's Kickstarter, where you... kind of like a donation kind of charity thing. Sometimes you can give people like t-shirts, but it's pretty much, they're not getting nothing in return for that except for just goodwill. They want to support you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, equity crowdfunding is something that is new, yep. That came about from President Obama's Jobs Bill, if I'm not...
the Jobs Act.
And so can you talk about that? Because it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, no. So, you know, one of the... any business, right? Particularly within in tech companies, right? You have to raise funding. And for you know, decades now, right, the way you do that is go to an investor, right? You pitch your vision to that one individual usually or a fund, and you know, they make a decision on if they're going to give you the startup capital that you need to go build this thing. And in exchange, they get equity, right? They get ownership, part ownership in the company, and that's how it's been done for ages. Now, one of the things that it has created is a very big gap in terms of wealth and the access to generate wealth, right? When you talk about angel investors, right? And again, trust me, like I've learned all of this stuff in the last 5 years. I didn't even know what Silicon Valley was or the word. And so this was all things that I had to learn on the go. But when it comes to angel investors, these are basically wealthy individuals that are investing their own capital, like out their bank account, they're investing in the companies, getting equity. And then when those companies go on to do very well and get sold or IPO, then those angel investors, those wealthy folks get even more wealthy, right? Because they get a return on their capital. And so it was creating this gap and, you know, shout out to Obama because he, you know, saw that there was a disparity there and thought that anybody should be able to have access if they can access that deal, right? Because there's part access, but then having the capacity to even get involved, mm-hmm. right? And so... he created the Jobs Act, right? It's Jumpstart Our Business Startups. And it is, you know, it's actually a whole lot of different things. But one of the things in there is equity crowdfunding. And what it does is it gives founders of companies the ability to open up the fundraising to what they call non-accredited investors. So that angel investor that I mentioned is going to be an accredited investor. And to be an accredited investor, you have to make $250,000 a year or more, at least for the last 3 years, as your tax, you know, paperwork will show, or have $1 million in liquid assets.
Yeah, we can see how that could be a problem. Like, especially in the communities we live in, it's like, how many people do we know that make $250,000 as a combined family?
Exactly.
Right? To have somebody, one person make it. It's like,
and as a group, actually, you and your spouse collectively have to make $300,000. Right. And so they even make that bar go a little higher. And so or have $1 million in liquid assets.
And that's it. That's the only requirement. It's 250 and $1 million in assets
or $1 million in liquid assets.
Liquid assets.
Liquid. So it can't. But it basically can't.
Your home. Right? It got to be
something like a retirement account or a bank or stock, stuff like that. Right. Things that you can liquidate.
Quickly. And so that's, you know, that and honestly, it, or like what I looked at in the research I've done, it's that's about 8 or 9% of Americans, right? And so the 91% essentially, right, can't even access that deal. Even if they know the founder of XYZ company, they can't, you know, invest. Even if they happen to have some load of cash that they came across or whatever. But so what Obama said is, you know, through the Jobs Act, now anybody should be able to access that. So in 2016 is actually when it went through. And now you started to see the rise of these equity crowdfunding platforms. So the thing that you have to know is, like, if I run a tech company or a startup, just because, you know, the Jobs Act exists doesn't mean you could just walk up and give me some money and say, I want to be an investor. The companies have to go through. So this is all sanctioned by the SEC. You know, there's a lot of kind of formal terms I won't bore you guys with, but you have to go through a very extreme vetting process. So first there's the platform. So you brought up a good point. Kickstarter, Indiegogo, right? These are forms of crowdfunding. GoFundMe is a crowdfunding platform, right? And again, to your point, you're raising money for something from a large crowd of people, hence the name.
The origin of the word crowdfunding itself was based on a rock band. Like they, they couldn't get money to go on tour.
Their
fans came together to say, like, let's fund them to at least have a tour to perform. Hence, crowdfunded.
I see. You,
okay. Troy always comes with these. He was like a white elephant. Like, he always comes with like these little known historical pivots.
That's dope. That's dope.
So we're back to the crowdfunding.
But yeah, so you know, crowdfunding as in and of itself exists, right? It has existed for some time, all the way back to the rock band, right? And to your point, equity crowdfunding came in, right? When you, and let's just draw a comparison. Let's take Kickstarter, for example. This is a Kickstarter is a company that enables you to run a crowdfunding campaign, right? And so you can put up your project, whether it's a film, whether it's a whatever it is, right? And you can basically promote it and people will buy in and maybe you have perks, like you said. Now, the difference, right? You talk about equity crowdfunding, there are also platforms, right? So Republic is one that is probably one of the more popular ones. There's others called WeFunder, you know, a few others that, you know, allow you to have an equity crowdfunding campaign. Now, they have to go through a rigorous process to even be set up. But the big difference between those two platforms is that on Kickstarter, if I'm not mistaken, basically anybody can set that up. You can go on there, fill out the thing, and then boom, launch your campaign, and it's up to you. And you have to raise a certain amount to even access the capital. For equity crowdfunding, because these are technically public offerings, right, of shares in a company, in a private company, it has to be sanctioned by the SEC. So it's a very rigorous process. Right. I mean, they dove deep into the financials and all the history of the company. And then that's how you're able to even be accepted on one of the platforms. Right. Mm-hmm. Like Republic for us. And then and really it's because basically, I don't even know if we said it. What it means is equity crowdfunding enables anybody, non-accredited investors, to invest into private companies for as little as, you know, I think legally the minimum is like $10.
Yeah, no, that's something that, all right, so I don't want people to not understand this. So, because I get this question in my DM so often, like when I post stuff about like Beyond Meat and like Lyft and all of these stuff, and I post stories about like Nas and like how he invested early, and people are like, well, how can I invest in these companies early? For the most part, you really can't, right? Like you said, I mean, especially on that level, it's like angel investors and VCs, but even on a small level, it's accredited investors. So you have to be like a special kind of person, for lack of a better word, to actually invest. But now it allows the general public, crowdfunding allows the general public to invest in companies on the ground level. Because like you said, off camera, one of the main disadvantages is that you're getting people that can invest in these companies. And then when they go public, their percentage goes up like 1,000%. But by the time the general public gets in the stock market, they've already made their money. They're out.
Oh yeah,
they're
out the game, right? They so, good.
And it's interesting because probably the most famous in our community person that has done that is Jay Morrison. He did a real estate crowdfunding, with the Tulsa Real Estate Fund. And he, same thing, he raised money from a crowd. And I think like over $10 million in a very short period of time. So it was a very successful real estate crowdfunding fund campaign. But it's something for people to understand from two aspects of it. From a business owner, it's a way to raise money, right? Because financing is extremely important, and it's hard to get bank loans. It's hard to get outside financing. So this is a way for business owners to raise large amounts of money. Now, you're giving up equity in it, and we'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. But you know, you don't get nothing for something. You always have to do something. So, and it's also a way for investors to invest in companies that they believe in and they think that can blow up, because now you might put in $10,000 on a company, but in 5 years, that company, that percentage might be worth $100,000 because you got it on the ground level. You guys said something about Ben Horowitz, right?
Ben Horowitz, yeah.
Horowitz. If anybody's not familiar, he's a tech giant, VC giant, and he's good friends with Nas. He's one of the reasons why Nas is really blowing up. He's kind of like mentored him. Yeah. I read some stuff about that. If anybody's not familiar, Nas is doing his thing with Queensbridge.
Ventures.
And they invest in like Lyft,
Ring,
PillPack, a lot of these companies. And so Ben is really into hip hop. He's like a hip hop head. And Illmatic, from what I understand, is like one of his favorite albums ever.
My favorite album.
So he developed.
Ben Horowitz is not black, by the way.
No, he's not. Yeah. If you didn't know by the name, if you
didn't know by the name, didn't give it away.
Yeah. So he just so developed.
Invited to the barbecue, though, nonetheless.
so you were saying that it was crazy because roughly he invested like $250 into Instagram, and then like 2 years later it was worth like $80 million or something like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, so I don't have any facts on this. I actually, shout out to Chameleonaire. If you know, Chameleonaire is really, really been winning in the
Houston zone,
riding dirty. And, you know, he's been winning in the tech game. And just real quick, you know, we were talking about a situation that happened, I think 2017 finals, right? And this is where it actually came out that, you know, Chameleonaire's like, been in tech. He was courtside.
Front row, yeah.
Yeah, and like in the background of a picture. And it's like, how many ringtones did he sell at the finals game 5, you know, courtside? And people came and said, no, he's been early investor in Lyft, early investor in Ring, you know, early investor in a number of companies that have done well. And so, you know, actually Chameleonaire was the one that kind of, you know, put this data out. Now, I don't know, you know, the details and specifics on it, so let me make that clear. But there was a very sizable return, you know, in the 80s of millions of dollars, you know, based on that initial investment from what I hear. But it shows the power of equity ownership, right? And that was, I think, what the real point that he was making is that, you know, you have to be able to get in on the ground level. And for so long, the price was so much higher than, you know, most of our folks in the community could ever even think about investing. And so with the equity crowdfunding, that's where, because it's coming from a crowd of people, you can make that price much lower. You know what I mean? And so for win-win, for $250, you can own equity, right? Albeit a smaller portion compared to somebody that's putting in $25,000 or $250,000. But, you know, it's all about having a slice of that pie, particularly if you believe in the company, if you believe in the mission, if you're going to be a consumer of it, right? And that, to your point, the 91% that are non-accredited investors, they have to wait until it's already publicly traded to even, you know, have some ownership, right? Imagine being able to do that on the front end, but now you actually can. And that's where the equity crowdfunding, to your point, comes in, where we can raise money, particularly as black founders. We have now an alternative avenue to raise money from the crowd versus having to go to a very particular, a specific demographic of VCs.
Yeah. And people, I'm glad you brought that Chameleonaire story up because it highlights a problem in the community. So it all started with it was like the Golden State final. Anybody knows finals tickets, they cost a lot of money, right? Hundreds of thousands, like it's crazy. Not hundreds of thousands, but a lot of money.
A lot of money.
So he's front row at the finals.
Yeah.
And it's like a joke. It's like, damn, how much ring sales did he sell? Like
Here doesn't belong.
Where has he been 15 years? But little do they know, the guy's been making millions of dollars in investing in companies long after his musical career was over. So when they find that out, it's like now it's not funny anymore, right? So it's like a lot of times we highlight celebrities and entertainers. But like, even if you look at that, this is Jay-Z and Beyonce at the front row. Everybody knows them, but they're probably middle class for everybody else in the front row. Like, the guy that got into the fight, nobody knew who he was. He's worth $8 billion.
Right.
Just a random billionaire.
Until he put his hands on
him. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, how many people that you don't know are just billionaires?
Yeah.
The one person that you do know just became a billionaire. No disrespect to J&B. We love them. But that just goes to show you how much money is out there. Yeah,
shout out to B. We in the third ward, right?
Yeah, is that y'all in the trailer right now?
We in the home.
Beyonce's hometown, right?
And you know, and that's one, I'm glad you brought that up, because when I was in the Bay, right, one of the things that I really actually appreciated, you know, relative to LA, right, is that you didn't know who you was talking to or what you were doing. Like, the money was just shown way differently. You know what I mean? And you just had people that were just grinding and hustling and building companies. And, you know, you meet a guy just randomly look like, you know, random guy. And it's like, yeah, man, you know, I just sold my second company, you know, to Amazon. It's like, whoa, yeah. Word? You know what I mean? And drinks on you then. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just a different, it's a different mindset. And to your point, like, you know, like you said, it wasn't funny no more. You know what I mean?
Tell a different joke.
And, you know, I think that I love these examples where you look at, you know, Chamillionaire, who, and that's a great friend. Shout out to Cam. And by the way, he's an entrepreneur as well as an investor. He started his own tech company called Convos, which I, you know, suggest everybody go check out and download. And he's been building and feeding into the community, giving back. You know, and you gotta love that. But you look at, you know, the Beyonce situation, right? Where if for those who don't know, you know, she essentially passed up a cash offer to perform at a big Uber event, passed on $6 million, as the story goes, and wanted equity in exchange, and they gave it to her, and then they just recently IPO'd, and supposedly it's worth somewhere in the $300 million range. Right. And again, that's the power of equity, because, you know, they IPO, you own shares of the company, and now you're able to cash that in. Now, granted, that's on paper, right? That worth, but she can cash that in and make it.
You know who else has a good equity story? I told this story before, but I never told it on the podcast, so I might as well tell it. 50 Cent.
Curtis Jackson.
Shout out to 50. We don't owe him any money. Not yet. Hopefully. So everybody knows 50 Cent's vitamin water. He made, like, they say $80 million, right? Because what happened is that he had equity, I think like 10% equity stake in the company. Then Coca-Cola bought it for $1 billion, and then his 10% was worth like $100 million. What they don't know is that, so vitamin water, the guys from vitamin water, they're from Queens,
New York.
Okay.
Queens. So, yeah, so okay. 50, Queens gets the money. Yeah. So 50's from Queens, from Southside. And you know who else is from Queens? Meta World Peace, Ron Artest. Yeah, yeah.
Formerly known as.
He's from, he's from Queensbridge, home of Nas and Mobb Deep and a bunch of other people. So when the guys that started Vitamin Water, they was looking for somebody from Queens, hometown, and they wanted a celebrity. So they approached Ron Artest about being like the face of Vitamin Water, right? He's an athlete.
Yeah.
Sizable name.
Right.
It's, you know, at that time. So they offered him the same deal, 10% equity stake, and he wanted $200,000. They didn't have $200,000 to actually pay him. So they told him, well, we can't give you $200,000, but we can give you 10%. He turned it down. 50 Cent took the deal. Just so happened, 1 year later, Coca-Cola brought him for $1 billion, and that 10% turned into $100 million. So Ron Artest gave up $100 million for $200,000.
Education.
He didn't fully understand the power of equity. He's like, no, pay me. You try to pull a fast one on.
Right.
Right? But it all comes down to education. So now you hear Beyonce say, pay me in equity. So we're starting to fully understand this. And especially in the VC world and in Silicon Valley. I hope I said that correctly.
Silicon, man.
Silicon Valley.
Bosh shit. They're going to know now.
Well, you was going to know anyway. So that's something that's been going on for years, right? Where it takes time and the back end is always more profitable than the front end.
Mm-hmm.
So now we fully understand this and we need to be fully aware of this. So in that vein, being that you have run a successful equity crowdfunding campaign, you're actually still running
it. We're in it. Yeah, we're in it.
You're still running it right now. All right, somebody has a business and they want to take the same route that you did, right? What are the steps to actually, because I know you said it's a whole process with the SEC, they got to get approved and all that stuff. Like, what's the steps?
Yeah, so the steps is, you know, you have to, you essentially can apply, I believe, to the company. Now, we were a little rare. We actually, companies reached out to us, like Republic and how that got set up. So, but there is kind of a submission process, I believe, where you can be considered. And they actually have people on their team that are looking for companies and they're trying to say, hey, we think you should do an equity crowdfunding campaign because, you know, their model is they make a percentage of what you ultimately raise, right? So they're looking for great companies that they think will be successful. So if you end up finding yourself in a position where, you know, you reach out and there's alignment, they do a vetting process themselves, then you're kind of in the game. You got to go through the process of, you know, pulling all your financials, right? You got to go through, it's like I said, it's a very rigorous process. And I think the thing you have to make sure that you understand is what you're kind of getting yourself into, right? Because and this goes back to even, and this is probably a whole nother podcast, just around the types of funding and who gets that type of funding, right? Because if you depending on your business, right, there are only a certain type of business, certain types of businesses that should be raising money from venture capitalists, right? Because these VCs want to see 10x return, like hockey stick growth, mm-hmm. right? And that's why they're giving you that money. If you ain't getting that way, which is fine, right? You have other companies that just grow steadily. You're profitable. You're making money. That's a great business, but you shouldn't be taking money from kind of the investors that we're talking about, right? In terms of their credit, because there's an expectation there. But when you go back to looking at your business and where you are, right? I think one of the things that is key to look at, and we looked at this even in our own decision, is how attractive and understandable will it be to the crowd, right? Because you gotta resonate with people, and we're building something that we believe touches everybody, right? You talk about sports and philanthropy and entertainment, right? My good friend Don Dixon said the other night that, you know, she invested in our company as well, and she said that, you know, Win-Win operates in two recession-proof businesses, entertainment and sports. People could be doing down bad and all across life, but you're going to watch that game. You're going to find a way to, you know, get into that experience. And so, you know, you got to think about, is this going to be attractive to the average consumer? That was one thing that I had to really kind of even adjust how we talk about the company, because I'm so used to talking to sophisticated, you know, investors that this is what they do. So there are terms and terminology that we can use that they understand very quickly. Whereas you're talking to the crowd, right, through communication or whatever, you got to kind of break that down. And I've been learning, to your point, like the big gap in knowledge of what equity actually is, even to the point where on the hiring side, one of the things for startups is you have little capital usually, so you can offer early employees equity, right? And that's where you get big time companies like, big time engineers at Google, for example, who will leave Google, right, a very cush job, and go work at a startup because they're getting some percentage in the equity. So they're saying, I'll pass on that, you know, very well to do job to take equity because I'm going to help build this thing to become whatever that is. Even as we've now come to Houston, there's been conversations with potential employees that who don't necessarily even understand. They're like, nah, like, I, you know, we need this much money. And it's like, well, you know, we'll be a little under market, but we can comp that with equity, which now I find myself having to explain actually how valuable the fact that you even have an opportunity to have equity is a big deal. Yeah, and that's why I love these pop culture examples. Beyonce, Chamillionaire, you know, 50, that. Yeah, everybody knows, and they're showing that, you know, how powerful that is. And now the fact that anybody can get in on that equity, I think is a game changer for not only our communities. You talk about generating generational wealth and you know, create what you guys talk a lot about, financial literacy. When you know better, you do better, right? And I think this is changing the game and opening up those opportunities.
One of the things you said, and that's extremely important, is that even if it's a small, right, like 1% in equity, right? Let's say it's $250. Like, that's the initial investment to own a percentage, right? That could turn into $15,000, right? If you had more, obviously it turns into more of a profit. But that $15,000 can be the startup for you to invest in something else, like your first piece of real estate or your first restaurant. However, it may feel fit for yourself. It's a beginning, right? A lot of people think like they're so small, I can't do it. in Houston, right? You said something earlier about it becoming a tech hub, like it's going to be the Silicon of the South. How's the vision for that, right? And who's, are you the forefront of it? Or are there people out here that are going along on that journey with you?
You can sense the kind of the fervor in the air of like, you know, this is exciting, right? Because typically, even with the investors, we got some new investors, shout out to them, you know, here in Houston that have typically invested only in, you know, oil and gas and energy. So now to have some, you know, innovative, fast growing tech company opportunities has been great for those, you know, kind of traditional investors. But what I'm more proud of is that we can bring this opportunity to everybody from Third Ward to the SWAT, you know, to downtown and the Galleria, anybody across the city and the country and really the world. That's the great thing about equity crowdfunding. Also, you can invest from anywhere in the world. I mean, we got investors in Canada, Australia, Africa that have come through on our campaign, and it gives everybody that opportunity to gain that equity we've been talking about.
It's powerful, man. We want to thank you for coming in. We appreciate you.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Bag drop.
Bag drop.
Mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.